Good evening.
Good evening.
In continuing our series on the Beatitudes, this week I would like to look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How many of you believe that you are merciful? And what does it mean to be merciful? When considering mercy and justice, we most readily want mercy when we mess up or when we do something wrong, and we want justice when someone else does something wrong. Rather than asking for mercy for all, we always want judgment or justice on those who have wronged us. One of the biggest or best definitions I've ever heard on mercy is not getting what we deserve. Mercy is just not getting what we deserve. Webster defines mercy as compassion or forbearance shown especially to an offender or to one subject to one's power, lenient or compassionate treatment. I guess Webster leans to a more complicated definition than I do, or a more complex one. But when it comes to God's mercy, we tend to have the attitude of the psalmist David from Psalms chapter 51, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 51, verse 1 and 2. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David had this attitude. He sought out mercy from God. David had some problems in his life. He had committed some sins in his life, and he had done some things in his life that I'm sure he was not proud of, aside from the ones that we know about. But David cries out for mercy. Mercy restores what sin takes away. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Psalm 51 and verse 10, one of my favorite verses from the Psalms. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Have you ever done something that you were just ashamed of and you just cry out to God, why do I do these things? Or why would I say something like that to hurt someone? Or why would I do, and we just, "Lord, just create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Sometimes we get off track in our lives and we seek the mercy that God offers. And God's mercy comes through humility. Psalm 51 and verse 17. Psalm 51 and verse 17. It says here, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." We see in our text that the only way to obtain mercy is to show mercy. So how do we do that? First of all, we must be Christ-centered. Christ-centered. That means that we're not self-centered. We've talked about this before, about people that are selfish. They think about themselves. They don't think about other people first. And part of being a Christian is thinking of others first and putting others' feelings and others' desires first. One of the first principles of a successful marriage is that each partner tries 100% to focus on the needs of their partner, regardless of what their own needs are. In most of the failed marriages, if you've ever talked to someone who's been through a failed marriage, they're very bitter. "Well, she just wasn't doing what she was supposed to do. She didn't take care of my needs. She didn't do this. She didn't do that. Or he was a lousy bum. He didn't do what he was supposed to. I had to do everything. It's all about me and all about what he didn't do." But in this, seeking that mercy is being Christ-centered. Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, 4 and 5. Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Do you think that Jesus was merciful? How merciful do you think he was to those money changers when he went in and he turned over the tables and he ran them out of the temple with a whip? Well, that gets thrown out there a lot when we think about Jesus and we talk about Jesus' compassion and Jesus' love and Jesus' mercy. But you remember the song, "He could have called 10,000 angels"? Why didn't he? Why didn't he call 10,000 angels? It was mercy. If he would not have if he was seeking justice, he could have called 10,000 angels. But he didn't. Because he showed us mercy because of his love for us. Even his love for the very ones who nailed him to the cross. It's interesting. If Jesus can love and show mercy to the very ones that nailed him to the cross, why can't we love those around us? Those that we perceive to be greater sinners than we are. Or those who may not be living up to what we consider the standard of righteousness or the standard of Christianity. Oh, look at them. They're hypocrites. They don't, you know, they don't come to church but once a week, if that. And you see them out drinking, you see them out running around, you see them out partying. We need to have mercy on those people. We need to pray for those people. We need to pray for all the world, the lost. We need to pray for the saved. We need to pray for those that are teetering, those who are trying to straddle the fence that we talked about this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus told the people, you come to me and take my yoke upon you. Follow the lead that I give you. Have the mercy that I have for you. We learn of Jesus' mercy and make an effort to become like him. After all, being called a Christian literally means to be Christ-like. How many people do you know that call themselves Christians who are the farthest thing from being Christ-like that you've ever seen in your life? I mentioned this about 2 or 3 weeks ago in a sermon. A guy came into the store and just profanity spewing forth out of his mouth and just talking about how these people need to get what they deserve and those people need to get what they deserve. And he talked about how he forgave his sister because he's a Christian. And I thought to myself, It's funny how people have tarnished the name Christian and have turned it into something that it isn't. How many times have you had the attitude that you really want to see someone get what they deserve? We watch the news and we see stories that make our blood boil. Somebody rapes a child or molests a child and then they get off on a technicality and we think somebody ought to take them out and just take them out behind the woodshed. Take them out in the woods somewhere. We hear these stories like that and we have this attitude, they need to get what they deserve. That's not a merciful attitude. I've even had heard people say things when they read of something like that or they hear of a story like that and they say, yeah, well, I hope he burns in hell for what he did. You know, somebody dies as a sinner and they die in a lost state, they are going to burn in hell, but we shouldn't hope that on anyone. As I mentioned this morning, hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. We are not. It was never prepared for man. That's for God to decide. Psalm 149, verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Second of all, we should pray for even the worst of heathen that they should repent of their wickedness. For hell wasn't prepared for the worst of sinners. Only for the devil himself. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't ever prepared for man, not even the worst of mankind. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Thirdly, if we cannot learn how to show mercy, we will not receive mercy. While I don't know about you, I know that I need all of God's mercy that I can get. Now, I think about the things that I've said and the things that I've done, and I try to live my life according to God's will, and I, as you all do too. Sometimes I fail and come short of His glory, and it's when that's where mercy comes in, and I'm thankful for that mercy. James chapter 2 and verse 13. James chapter 2 and verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I want you to think about that verse for a second. Look at it and let's read it again. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. If it's saying if you live your life without showing mercy to others, you will stand before the judgment and be judged without mercy. Can you imagine having a small traffic offense or traffic violation, very small, and it resulted in a catastrophe? Now, so it was an accident. I didn't mean to do what I did. It was an accident. I made a bad choice. I had an accident. And then you go before the judge and they said, oh man, you got this one judge, he's the worst. He has no mercy. He doesn't know the meaning of the word mercy. He will prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law no matter what. He shows no mercy. So we think about this verse, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. No one will make it through the judgment without mercy. So to think that you may go before the judgment and stand before the judgment without mercy is a scary thought. That's why our passage says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Where would we ourselves be if we didn't have God's mercy to rely on? At one time or another, I know each and every one of you at one time or another was in a lost state. You're at a point in your life where we could be described by this passage, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There were times in our lives when we didn't live the kind of life that we were supposed to live. Some, even as Christians, after we became Christians, we started living a lifestyle. And there are some people that they just can't let go of the sinful lifestyle, and they're fooling themselves in believing that they can. Anyone who has ever lived or still lives as a sinner can basically say they were forgiven by the mercy of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. While we understand that God is rich in mercy, we also know that he will by no means clear the guilty. Those who are guilty of transgression, he will not look at them and say, well, you know what, I'll overlook that. Those who have been washed in the blood of Christ, he will overlook. They've been washed in the blood of Christ. Those who have not will not. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. It says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. As merciful as God is, he is also just, and therefore he must punish sin. He must punish transgression. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, so there's only one way around that, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we obtain the mercy of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Many men over the years have pondered the question, why did Jesus come when he came? Why did he come to earth at the time that he came to earth? Some 2,000 years ago. Why didn't he come? You think about this. The people, the fathers, the patriarchs, they looked for his coming. They longed for his coming. And they looked for that arrival. The Messiah is coming. Part of the problem with Jesus is they didn't believe he was the Messiah. They thought that there would just be this big boom and this bright light and this glorious arrival coming down from heaven. The Son of God coming down and taking over and wiping out all those pesky Romans. That's not the way it happened. And so this can't be. Surely this can't be him. Really? No. Though they didn't expect it. So the Bible tells us it was the precise time to accomplish what he came to accomplish. And when you think about that, he couldn't have come during the Egyptian bondage. The people weren't ready for that. They wouldn't have been ready. It would have changed everything. He couldn't have come during the wilderness wanderings, nor could he have come during the conquest. Any of those times we look at and we think, no, it just wasn't right. Neither could he have come during World War I. We could fast forward and just go and pick any time in history and say he couldn't have come during this time. Now, as we get closer to the time AD 0 when Jesus came, anytime we get closer to that time, around that time, it was ripe and the time was ripe for him. Why? Because the people had the right mindset. The world was where it should have been at that point to accept the Savior and at the same time reject the Savior. So it was the perfect time. He couldn't have came in the 80s or any other time that he came. The world was ripe and ready for the Savior. Ready in the sense that they were arrogant enough in their religion that they crucified him. The attitude of the people was of such that they needed to hear all of God's word. And you think about this when I make this statement that he came at the right time. Even you people in this room, if you think about your life as a teenager and what the world did as a when you were a teenager compared to what the world does now. You think about crime, how it's treated today as how it was treated when we were teenagers. Anybody in here, no matter how old you are, how young you are, look at the difference between when you were a teenager and now and the attitudes toward sin and transgression. Look at the people that are promoting this. They are actually bombing these health centers because they are convincing women not to commit abortion. Oh, so let's blow them up. They're destroying, they're killing people because they're convincing women not to have an abortion. You know how they're convincing them? They're showing them the ultrasound. They have discovered, and you may have heard of this, maybe not, but these clinics have discovered that if they can show an expecting mother the ultrasound, 80%, this is a mother that's planning on doing an abortion, 80% of them will not go through with the abortion. 80%. This is a success rate that nobody's ever accomplished anywhere since this abortion stuff began. So they've got an 80% turnaround rate if they can just show that expectant mother the ultrasound. I was listening to the radio this afternoon, and it was on a podcast, and he had a mother's reaction. He said, this is an actual reaction. I wasn't watching the podcast. I was listening to it on audio, so I didn't get to see her reaction. But you could hear she went, oh. Oh, it changed her whole mind. They said that baby was saved. That baby was saved. This girl was there with her mother. And the nurse says, we're going to show you this. And she showed her the ultrasound. And she made the statement, he's so cute. She saw the baby was cute and couldn't go through with it. Now, we have people on the left that are bombing those places like that to stop them from doing that. How far has our society gone? We look at the time of Jesus and the days of Jesus, they were arrogant enough in that they would do what they had to do. We think these people are so brazen that they're going out here and they're blowing up these clinics that are saving babies' lives. But the people of this day crucified the Son of God. They killed the Son of God and spit in his face and slapped him and mocked him. Where was the mercy? There was none. They crucified him without mercy. They scourged him without mercy. And they will be judged without mercy. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 35, when you read these words, you think of the people that he's talking to at that time. He wouldn't have told them to do these things if they weren't already doing the opposite. Okay, so he's turning them around by giving them this information. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 35. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you wouldn't that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. Be ye therefore merciful. All of those people that do things against us, and be merciful to them. Be kind, be loving, be caring. That is a bit of a long verse, but Jesus basically is laying out the fact that we can't just be like everyone else. As Christians, we can't be like everyone else. Unmerciful. We have to be better. We have to be more forgiving. We have to be more caring. We have to be more benevolent. We have to be more patient, more kind, more loving. And of course, more merciful. As merciful as the Father, it says here. Here are some aspects of the merciful. For one, we will have a fervent love for humanity. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. We shall have a fervent love for humanity. We will also be forgiving towards others. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We will not seek vengeance. We give that over to God. We will not seek vengeance. Unmerciful. The unmerciful are those that seek vengeance. The merciful are the ones that turn it over to God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Romans 12 and verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We will always seek the greater good. As being merciful as God, we will always seek the greater good. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 15. When you think about these aspects that I'm giving you, God said, we saw earlier, that we should be as merciful as the Father is merciful in Luke chapter 6. We should be as merciful as the Father. And all of these things that we look at, we are thankful that God is showing these towards us. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 15. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We will not be quick to pass judgment on our fellow man as the merciful servants of Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. We will seek to serve one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How many times have we been merciless to those around us? How many times have we had the attitude, not even what we did, but just the thoughts in our mind, he don't deserve that. He don't deserve that. How many times have you driven past someone that is on the side of the road asking for food, will work for food, or anything will help, homeless, please help, hungry, please help, veteran, please help, and we look back at them and we say, yeah, sure, he's probably got a mansion right around the corner, yeah, sure, he's going to use that money to buy drugs. I haven't bought drugs, I don't know what it costs to buy drugs, but from what I can tell, it costs a lot more than a few dollars that you would give that guy. We have the attitude of being merciless when it comes to those people. If you look at the Bible, how many stories do we see of beggars and how we are supposed to treat those beggars? We are to have mercy, for he shall have judgment without mercy who hath showed no mercy. And finally, if we want mercy, we must show ourselves merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. One more verse and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God for mercy. For without it, we would totally be without hope. God's mercy brings us that hope that we can also share in the glories of heaven. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.